Thank God. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings chapter number 7. 2 Kings chapter number 7. God's put this passage on my heart tonight. I want to help you with it. It stirred me up. It's helped me. If you got your Bible to 2 Kings 7, stand to your feet. By the way, this good Sunday night crowd, it's encouraging. By the way, I want to say, all you people that's driving those carts on Sunday night and Sunday morning, thank you for what you're doing. People directing traffic, oh, we got a bunch of our deacons that are driving carts, directing traffic. I want to thank all of them. See, that's what it is. You're a servant. And boy, doesn't it feel good to serve?
Amen.
Amen. One of the ladies, I can't even think of who it was right now, got off that cart the other day and said, oh, the driver's so sweet. And I knew who the driver was. I said, well, he ain't that sweet. But I'm kidding. Boy, I thank God you got those carts. I got bad legs. And isn't it a blessing how God's blessed us? Look at, and I'm going somewhere with that a little later. I just kind of led you into that. 2 Kings 7, are you there?
Amen.
Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. By the way, we don't have to discuss what's going on in the newspaper or at the Washington Post or the New York Times. We need to hear the word of God.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be. And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will not enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us fall on the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. Because we're going to die anyhow. That's mythology in there. And they rose up in the twilight to go out into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no man there. Man, I'm about to shout right here. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when the lepers, boy, it's a good story, came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also. And we went and hid it. Then, look. Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we have our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. I'm interested in that thought in verse 9. We do not well. Our Father, thank you for this wonderful story. Help me to be able to do a proper exegesis of it. May our expository preaching bring this story to life in our lives and help us to apply the truth here tonight to every one of us. And we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Have you ever thought you were doing better than you really thought you were? Somebody say amen here. These four leprous men in this story are going to experience the greatest day of their life. That they are going to experience something they've never experienced before. And they come in to this city, walk into a tent, they're starving to death, Lois. Go in there, and I'll just put a little John Smith in here. Find them some shrimp on the barbie. Couple T-bones. Some flay. Sweet potato. And they start gorging herselves. And then they saw a bunch of cash. Start putting it in their pockets, run out of the tent, went and hoarded it, and hid it. Are y'all all with me? Now this scene, I want you to notice, is centered around a famine in the land. There was a famine in the northern kingdom. Remember this morning I talked about the 10 northern nations? That was Israel, or their other name was Ephraim. And there was a divided kingdom at that time. There was an evil king residing in there. His name was Ben-Hadad. Or they had besieged Samaria. If you look at chapter 6 and verse 25, it's a whole lot different chapter 7 when the preacher came and said, normal prices. Will y'all just jump over to chapter 6 for a minute? Just look at this. I want to show you this famine, kind of get the context. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver. That don't seem appetizing to me. And a fourth part of a cab of dung for 5 pieces of silver. You say, what was happening? There was a famine. People were hungry. People were starving to death. Are y'all all with me? And then the preacher man comes in verse 1 and says, I want y'all all to know this. I want you all to know this. God's going to bless things. And tomorrow, things going to be back down to normal. You'll pay normal prices again. And then one dude, he gets up and starts mocking them. You know, there's always somebody wanting to mock old-timey religion. They always, somebody wants to try to put down our faith. I know what the world thinks of us. They think we're a bunch of dumb rednecks that don't have no other sense than to serve a God. And we think he's going to take care of them. I want them all to know something. I do think he's going to take care of me. I think he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I think God's got all this and God's got more for us than you never thought about thinking. Well, somebody help me preach right now. Sense a little bit coming on me. I am going ahead, Kim. Stay with me. And then verse number 3. I want you to notice what drove these four lepers to start contemplating something. Now, I want to give you 3 or 4 things by way of introduction, then I'll give you some application. We'll go home. Verse number 3, I want you to notice their sad dilemma, 3 and 4. They were leprous men. Being a leprous man, that means they had a disease predicament. They weren't even allowed in the camp. By the way, before you got saved, you were outside of the camp. You were outside the commonwealth of Israel. There was a wall there. Come on now. But I'm glad that God tore down the wall and made a way for you and I to come in and eat and be blessed and be nourished and be filled and have all we need to have. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm starting to get happy in my own preaching. They had a disappointed perspective. Here's where they were. Well, if we stay where we're at, we're going to die. If we go in the city, we're going to die. Come on. They had a desolate position. They were outside the camp. They had a doomed prospect. They were going to die. They were going to die. And then they had a desperate plight. They were going to die starving to death. Am I right? They were desperate. By the way, this is off the subject just for a second. I got a little preach on me tonight I want to give to you. You know what a bunch of Christians need to do tonight, Brother Jeff? We need to get desperate again. We need to get to a place where we know our plight's messed up. We know there's no hope. We know we're diseased. We know we're hopeless. We know we don't have no help. But we are desperate enough to come and say we're going to be bold enough to come to God. And get some help. Whew. Say with me, this is going to get better. Number two. In verse number three. Four, I want you to notice their smart decision. They had an adjusted mindset. Amen? Somebody help me here. They had an adjusted mindset. Wait a minute. Can I say something to you? You ever really repent? You'll have an adjusted mindset. Now, I know that some of my Baptist brethren don't believe in it. But I want to tell you what repentance is. It's a change of mind. Amen. That results in a change of direction. Right. By the way, I don't believe you ever repent unless you change your direction. I know there's a bunch of brethren don't believe that. But God help them. They wrote their little pamphlets about it and all those things. Repent. They're so soft on everything. Good preaching, brother. Before they had an adjusted mindset, here's what they thought. They said, well, we're going to die anyhow, right? So if we're going to die anyhow, why not go on in there and maybe, might not happen, but since we're going to die anyhow, right. Let's just go over and fall on the Syrians' mercy and see if that crowd will help us. Kind of simple to me. Hey, don't sound like a bad deal. Gonna die anyhow, Chad. Might as well go in and see if that bunch of Syrians, those ungodly pagans, look at us and have a little compassion. So we'll go in. If they don't have compassion, okay, we're gonna die anyway. We just die in the city. Y'all all with me? Because I'm getting ready to get real happy here. Then I want you to notice an active move. They entered into the enemy's camp. Yes, sir. Some of you might say, I don't like getting close to the enemy. They got right dead in the middle of the enemy's camp. They had an active move. You know what some of you need to do? You need to actively get busy for God. Why sit back there in your seat and enjoy your little salvation you got a bunch of years ago? Why not you get active? Why don't you move to do something? Hey, you can work in a food pantry here. You work in front line here. You work highways, hedges, Awana, Sunday school. Lord God, do something. Get active. Move for God. This is why I can't do nothing, but I got some money. Thank God, give it. Just move. Get active. I'll tell you what's wrong in our day. We've got a bunch of inactive Christians sitting back. Bless me if you can. I couldn't put a piece of dynamite in you and bless you. But if you ever just get some insight that you're dying, you're in a dying world, and this world needs it, so we need to move out. Number three, I'm trying to hurry. Look in verse 6. This is so awesome. It makes me want to shout. I see a supernatural deliverance. Come on. Here's what happened. These old boys came in. They had no hope, but hope showed up. How many believe that hope shows up in Jesus? When you might not think there's no hope for your old wretched soul, there is hope in Jesus.
Amen.
You said, what in the world happened? That's supernatural deliverance. This is amazing. Here was the Syrians occupying Samaria. Are y'all with me? Then all of a sudden, they start hearing chariots. And they start hearing horses. They start hearing maneuvering of men. They start hearing army and hosts coming upon them. And that crowd got right real scared and said, well, here's what they said in Smithology. I'm getting out of this place. And you said, how did deliverance come? How did it come, Preacher Smith? Because of the almighty effect. You know what some of your problem is tonight? I'm just going to flat get after it tonight. I ain't mad at you, but I want to tell you. You done left out the Almighty in your life. Look at me, son. Look at me, sir. Hey, you said, preacher, I need a job. I need this. I need that. Well, you know what you're doing. You're leaving God out of the equation. I've got a God that's able to provide for you, and you need the Almighty effect in your life. And when he starts making some noise, things start happening. Then I see an absence of enemies. Could you imagine these boys walking in there and they ain't no enemies? And they walk into a tent and they see food. You know what they done, don't you? They done made them a plate. Then they see money. You all read the text. They saw money. Jeff, they put it in their pocket, took it out of the tent, and went and hid it. I got a point coming here. Y'all stay with me. Then they went back in, got some more money, went back out, and hid some more. Are y'all all with me? And then something hit them. Our whole nation's starving. And it's not fair for us to have all this good stuff and all of our people are starving. And it leads us to the text, we do not well. And then I see in verse 9, their serious duty. First of all, they had a convicting regulation. They regulated some things. They started thinking, look what God's done. They had a compelling response. We don't do well. It's not fair for us to be so blessed and everybody else starve. And then they had a committed relay. We're going to go tell them. And then they had a celebrated rescue. Somebody help me preach here. I'm about to get happy. You say, well, what in the world does that have to do with any of us? Oh, that story right there. That's just four leopards. And what about us? Well, I thought you'd never ask. That was the day in your life that you were outside the gate. You were outside the commonwealth of Israel. You had no hope. You had no way to be saved. Yet the sovereign God of the universe came where you were, made a bunch of noise.
You say, what kind of noise did he make? I'll tell you what he made. The sweet Holy Ghost made some noise in my soul and showed me I was a lost sinner and showed me I was on my way to hell, and I was a whole lot of noise going on, and I started for the first time in my life paying attention that there was a God and there was a Savior and there was a heaven and there was a hell, and I need Jesus. I made the smartest decision of my life. Somebody help me. You said, how many of y'all made that decision? One day you saw yourself lost and you saw yourself going to hell and you just decided, I don't think I want to go this way. I want to go God's way. Am I preaching? Stay with me. See, them old boys did nothing. They just walked into something God did. And you said, what is that? Oh, I'll tell you what that is. That's grace. I didn't do anything to be saved, but I walked in on something that Jesus done. I walked in on the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I walked into the sweet Holy Ghost, the high sheriff of heaven who does the committee. I walked in on that, and he revealed Jesus to me. And I want to tell you, it's real. Amen. I want you to know something. Since I got saved, I've been able to stuff all kinds of good stuff in me. Eternal life, justification, sanctification, glorification. Someone help me preach right here. I once was an outcast. Now he called me preach. I'm preaching one of the greatest churches of America. Lord God, have mercy. I got more right now I ever had in my life. God's blessed me with better things than I ever had in my life. And the best thing, he's given me a Baptist church to preach in. He's given me some hope. He give you some hope. Somebody help me right here. I'm trying to get this thing over the top here. Because I'm so excited. Y'all with me? But I want you to know something. It's just not fair for me to have this and my family not have it. It's just not fair for me to have it and my friends don't have it. It's not fair for me to have it and my coworkers not have it. It's not fair for those that have come into my life not to have it when I got it. Why is it fair that we got it and they don't? Come on, somebody help me. You know what these boys were doing? They were hiding it and they were hoarding it. Then God got in them and they start heralding it. You know something? Jared, now I'm going to get a little plain here. I know Baptist churches that some of them got $200,000 in their checkbooks and ain't got 30 people. And just hoard it and hide it. They don't support missions. They don't give the preacher nothing. Starving about half to death. And they're hoarding and they're hiding. That ain't what God wants. Somebody help me. God doesn't want, it's not fair. It is not fair for us to have a track four rack, a track specker in a rack, and you don't pick any up. It's just not fair. You're going to be, hey, by the way, you can just get a bunch of them, put them in your bills and send them off. You can get it, but you'll see somebody tomorrow you can hand one too. It's just not fair for you to have eternal life and the world go to hell when you meet all kind of people every day in your life that needs what you need. Amen. And you got. Am I preaching? Stay with me. A lot of folks why is it so fair that you enjoy the choir and enjoy the preaching and the programs, but you don't get others in on it? You know what your duty is this week? Won't you find somebody that needs God? That you're going to come in contact with somebody that don't know Jesus. Somebody that's out of church. And it ain't fair for you to have it up and hoarding and hiding it and they don't get it. I'm going to say this about Tate Valley. How flat get it? We've been blessed.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what we don't do. We ain't hiding it and we don't hoard it. I'll just tell you what. Hey, Joanne, they'd think we're out of our mind for how we do this. When the month ends, we only have $10,000 left because we put the rest of it toward something. Now, right now, we're putting it toward the building and the food and other things. We don't hoard it. You say, "What? Why? Aren't you scared?" Why? If God's done all this before, don't you think he can do it again? Hey, by the way, he'll keep filling that oil barrel as long as we are giving out of the oil barrel. But let's some Tate Valley. You know, about a year ago, dear church up here in Elkview is going to celebrate to open a new church here in about a week or so. Supposed to do it next Sunday. I hope we're done. They're going to celebrate. They got $700,000 in their offering, 720, something like that. You people give 1/7 of it. You know what I thought back then? It ain't fair for me to have this kind of money in the bank and them up there in a mess and not help them. You say, well, probably there were some church members got a little critical. I don't know if it was or not. I don't doubt that they were. There's always some idiot somewhere. But see, you don't do well when you're hoarding and hiding. God's gave us great stuff. You might say, boy, y'all putting out 15,000 and now it looks like $17,400 to people you don't know, most of them, and most of them will never darken the doors of the church, and you're feeding them and taking care of them. Well, this is not in context because it's for a future time, but he did say, as often as you do it to the least of these brethren, you do it unto me.
Amen.
So what I'm trying to tell you is, when we don't hoard and we don't hide and we share what we have, we're actually doing it to him. I may not know a thing that's going on with some of them people's lives up there, but I want you to know I'm not really giving to them. I'm giving to him so he can bless them. Are y'all with me? And we don't do well. We ain't doing well. We're going to have the kind of singing we got this church. This is great singing. And the preaching's about half, but it ain't bad. And we got the singing and the preaching, and we got a great staff. We got youth programs. We've got all kinds of mission programs, and we don't do well if we don't share it. I wonder how many in this room, you've been saved, you've got in on abundant life, but you're kind of hiding and hoarding. You just, you know, leave me alone, preacher. I'll put some money in the tithe, but don't compel me to work at a food bank. And don't compel me to go up there and feed some addicts. That makes me nervous. Well, don't make me nervous. I got saved from some kind of lifestyle. Hello. And preacher, don't ask me to do one of them gifts for them kids. Huh? It ain't fair for us to have so much and they have nothing. I'm going to tell you, Dwayne, sometimes I ain't fit for anything. But I want to tell you, I'm not going to hoard up in my life. I don't even know how much time I got left. When I start seeing some of my buddies, Shane Lewis with cancer, and then I see some of the others, Brother Bobby and some of them going off the wayside, I ain't going to be long. I hope I'm well, but you know, I'm 66. I'm heading on the other side. And I don't do well, brother. I'm not going to do well if I can't share the rest of my life and give everything I got for God. You said you ain't got a lot of talent. Don't have to have a lot of talent. I just need to give what I got. And there's some of you that God's trying to call you to preach. Some of you that God's trying to get you involved in the church. Some of you got some money that you could give to help the building. Money you could give to the food bank. God's blessed you big. And you do not well to hoard it up and hide it. And I'm going to tell you what you ought to do. Everyone in this membership ought to go back there and empty the trash cracks. Empty them. Go get you about 20 or 30, and everybody you see this week, hand one to them. Every piece of mail that you send out for a bill, send one in it. Kids, they can't keep you from giving them to your buddies at school. And we do not well if we don't give it back to God. You know what, though? I'm going to give you this. I'm done. 7 o'clock. You know what? I don't think you'll ever give it back to God. And you'll ever do anything but hoarding and hiding until first you give yourself around an old altar prayer and saying, God, you give me so much stuff. You've blessed my life, my family, and I'm not doing well hiding and hoarding. I'm going to trust you. And I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to make some noise in your life. Stand with me. I'm done. You know what? If you really want to do something for God, you want to make a difference in your life. I'm not even going to press you tonight. You just want your life to make a difference. Will you come up around this altar and pray? And if you're not saved, will you come up here and let us lead you to Christ? Just come around here. Our Father, help people. Just say, I want to make a difference. Lord, just say, you got me. Here's my stuff. I'm not going to hide it or hoard it. I'm going to do something for you. God, we do not well if we don't. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, you ought to be up here thanking God. Giving him what you got. Come on. If you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, step out right now and trust God. I think a bunch of us ought to hit this altar and say, God, you've been so good to us. It's time for me to start giving back. Yes. 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 That's right. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming.
Us with our friends.
Yes.
Loving God. Loving each other.
Yeah, man.
And the story never ends.
Thank the Lord.